Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, well, we're going to do something. We did something a little different last week, and we're going to kind of continue with that. Again, I think it's just foolish to talk about one another and community and relationships and then me to get up here and monologue you guys for the whole series. So we've decided to bring up some beautiful people. This is one of them. Bianca and Kristen are going to come up as well. Kristen, as you may know, is Daniel's wife, the much, 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 much better half. And then Bianca's going to make it awkward and sit between them. And Bianca's better half is Johnny, and he's, I'm just kidding. Johnny's the man, like officially the man. And so Johnny and Bianca are going to be heading up the Mary group. Kristen and Daniel are going to be heading up. You're going to be hairy, maybe. They're going to be heading up a couple of different things. The Total Money Makeover class. It's a Dave Ramsey book, kind of book study. And then Daniel's also going to be doing a Bible study on Sunday mornings. So these are some of the small group leaders. We'll bring up the other ones at the end of the experience and talk about that. But what we want to do this morning is just talk about the importance of thinking smaller and getting and kind of break it. I mean, let's just be honest. Just look around the room. There is no way that we could possibly have, you know, deep relationships, conversations, tell people what's going on with everybody that's in the room. How many of you guys have ever gone to a restaurant to eat with a group of more than eight? You can't talk to more than that many people. It's just, it's like, it's crazy. It's funny because Shelly loves huge groups. Like, she's like, let's tell everybody and go eat. And I'm like, let's keep it, you know, a little more quaint and doable. Did you get that, Mike? Okay, good. So it's the same thing with small groups and spiritual growth and relationships. Like, we don't have the opportunity to have those kind of conversations without getting smaller. So if you guys want to just give a brief introduction of yourself, that would be a great place to start. Everybody knows Dan.
Like a bio? Or like,
yes. Let me, yeah. Daniel resides in Kilgore, Texas. He's married to Kristen and has two kids that he doesn't know about.
As long as I don't know about them, it's fine.
Anyway, yeah.
I mean, really, what? Other than that?
Other than the kids?
No, I mean, what do you want? What do you want to know?
I mean, like, married, work. What do you do?
I'm a structural engineer. That's what I do for work. Been married for 8 years. Zero kids. In fact, I know that to be true. Zero kids. Without getting awkward. Let's see. I don't know what else, man.
A hobby? I mean, how about a hobby?
I like to fish.
And?
I like to mountain bike.
If you ever see a bird and you're curious.
I like birds.
If you're curious what kind of bird it is, ask Daniel. He's like, yeah, it's a double red-breasted duck-billed platypus.
That's actually a mammal. That's not a bird. So.
Is it a mammal?
A platypus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say mammoth or mammal?
No, mammal.
Okay. I thought you said mammoth.
Mammoths are dead.
Those are extinct, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Daniel and then his lovely wife, Kristen.
Hey, I'm Kristen. I work at Good Shepherd in the accounting department. I have been married 8 years to this guy. I like to mountain bike, play tennis, work out. That's about it.
I love to work out also.
Okay, I am Bianca Tanuyen. It's Tanuyen. Tanuyen. I'm married to that guy back there. And we've been married for about a year and 9 months and 7 days. We got married on New Year's Eve, so it's really easy to, like, figure that out. I'm not, like, crazy. I mean, that's debatable, actually. But anyways. And I like to mountain bike and run and work out and do really anything, actually. I like to do crafts. Pinterest is my best friend. So, yeah, that's me.
Awesome. And I'm Chris. I am Chris. Simple, right? And so
you like to work out.
Never been. Don't even know what that means. So anyway, what we're going to do, I just kind of want to talk about some of your personal experiences with small groups. I think it's really important because everybody up here, they have a little bit different personalities. Obviously, Daniel, as much as you may not think this, Daniel is very introverted. But when he gets on a stage, it's like he flips the switch. Like, it's very impressive. And so Daniel is not much of a people person. So I thought it was really cool. It'd be good to have his perspective. Kristen and Bianca are people. And so, you know, again, just kind of different perspectives, because some of us are more extroverted, some of us are more introverted, but it's still really important to have relationships regardless of kind of what your angle is. And so just tell me about maybe one of your experiences with small groups that's helped you through a difficult time or a season in your life, or just kind of your passion for small groups in general.
Okay, I'll go first. I was just, if y'all had something off the top of your head, that's okay. Anyways, so by the way, we go back a long time, us three. We've known each other for a long time. So
I'm an outsider or what?
Yeah, I've known you two for a long time.
I've known Daniel longer than y'all have known Daniel.
That's true.
So boom.
Okay, you win. No, just kidding. So my passion for small groups in general is just like, you can't grow in life, Christian or not, you can't grow in life without people around you. You can't, you can try to do it by yourself, but man, when times get hard, you need people. People need people, and people need Jesus, and that you are Jesus to people, you know, like Jesus flows through you. And so I really believe in like community and small groups and having people in your life, having friends in your life that you can really say like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like, there's been multiple times that, you know, Kristen, I've been like, dude, it's not going good. Like, I need help, or I need prayer, or I need whatever. And so it's good to have a circle of friends that you can kind of trust and be around and kind of say like, hey, that you can be vulnerable with and kind of just be friends with. So that is kind of my heart for small groups and kind of just life in general.
Yeah, kind of just to go off exactly what she said, we all go through similar things at one point or another, and it's so good to have someone who's been there and it can help you through it. And life just gets hard sometimes, and life sucks sometimes, but it's good to know, like she said, hey, I'm going to small group tonight, and I'm going to have fun with my friends, you know, and I'm going to be encouraged after the night's over. And it's just good to have that group of people in that time every week where you know you're going to be there, and someone can help you through it. I remember one time when we lived in Austin, we had this, like, married couple friend. We were married, like, a year, and we were in this stupid argument. Always, when you first get married, okay? And it was so stupid, but I remember we just went over to their house, and, like, we were laughing at what we were arguing about because it was so stupid. And it's like sometimes you need someone from the outside to be like, y'all are being so silly. And it may be silly or it may not be silly what you're going through, but small groups is a great way to have someone there always with you, and you can go through life with someone else.
I see them slightly different. I get these ideas. I get them and I agree with them.
Now, before you do that, can you tell us what the argument was?
We don't even know.
No. I don't ever remember arguing about anything. So. This is not at all with small groups. Just a thought. If you're not married, or even if you are married, you're going to have a lot of arguments potentially, and none of them will be about anything big. You'll never argue about anything big. Like, having kids and stuff, that works itself out. You'll have arguments about it. We had an argument this morning about, like, well, I wanted to leave 3 minutes later. Well, I wanted to leave at 8:30. Well, I needed a few more minutes. We had, like, this freaking fist fight over, like... Well, yeah, we're still here early. But I'm just saying, just be prepared for the nonsense stuff to be huge. It's fun, though. What? Sorry. No, I'm kidding. No. No, no. Anyway, but...
And that's why they're not leading the married small group.
No, I mean, there's truths about small groups that I get, what they're saying, like accountability and all that. But I guess I'm going to take kind of a different aspect of it. And a lot of you really, I don't think you would believe, I mean, I really am incredibly introverted. I love to be alone more than anything. People wear me out. Like, I can come up here. They do. I'm just telling you, like, I like meeting people. I like talking to all of us here. I mean, this is like my church family. I love it. But when 12:30 or 1 rolls around and I'm getting in my car, I'm done. I'm exhausted. I really am. Like, this switch just, it's not even a switch. It's just like the battery's dead. And like, I can't even hardly talk to her. Like, she's like, so what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. I can't just say it. We'll go do something. I don't care. But having said that, I think there's a lot more introverted people out there than we realize, because we always see each other in groups like this. You don't realize it. But if you do happen to find yourself being an introvert, you understand that the desire to be alone all the time is not necessarily good. It's not necessarily bad, but you can't embrace that all the time. People are still good, whether you feel like being around them or not. There's still a lot of quality. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of interaction that needs to take place. And simply because your personality kind of bends you towards, well, I don't really want to do that. I'd rather be alone. These ideas that they're talking about are still true. You still need friends. And even if you're not opening up to everyone, if you don't have a friend already, you're probably going to find someone that you can confide in privately later on, these sorts of things. So I think it's good for, there's just something innate about community. No matter what your personality type is, it's good. And some people want more and can handle more community. And some people don't necessarily want it at all, but you still need it. I'd be just fine, I think, in a happiness sense. I would be perfectly happy having never gone to a small group, but I know that's not healthy, I know it's not right, and it's not the best thing. Happiness is not always what matters, I guess, though it's good. But that's my thing on it.
Yeah, that's really good. Doesn't it make a lot of sense? And I think especially, you know, the difference in perspectives from, you know, introvert to extrovert, it doesn't take away the importance of being in community and having relationships like that. I know for me, I work alone all day. I've got, my coworkers are dogs, which is fun at times, but we have one that's just stupid and craps everywhere. So that gets old. So even though my coworkers are dogs, they get on my nerves. And I'm typically alone for 7 or 8 hours a day. And man, by the time, like, that's why one of the reasons I go to the gym is just so I can be around people. Like, I work my jaw more than I work anything when I get to the gym. Like, people are like, are you here to work out or talk? I'm like, yes, both. Absolutely. And so, like, to me, that is a small group. Like, that's part of the people or the group of people that I do life with. And it's really important for me. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you can look at the social studies and the research that have been done about, you know, the need for human touch and human interaction and the things that it does to your brain, the chemicals that it releases in your brain, and exercise, like the endorphins and all of that stuff. It's all really important. But I think for me, just, I need the encouragement. Like, man, they don't have to be like, man, you're awesome. Like, not encouragement like that, just talking to people. Man, how was your day? What's going on in your world? Like, you know, what sucked today? What was awesome today? Like, I think stuff like that is just absolutely huge. And you don't get it unless you're in community. Like, because I can ask my dogs, but they're not going to talk back. You know, right? All right, so this is all kind of in the context of the One Another series, and we've talked about some of this, you know, specifically like bear with one another. So let's talk about maybe the need for patience and maybe some of the ways this has helped you, like being in small groups has helped you become more patient in general. No pressure.
I'm good. I'm thinking. All right, for me on that with patience, it's more of an aspect of like when you're in a group and you're talking about stuff, you getting to hear other people's points of views, getting to hear their experiences, the struggles they're going through, or you know, the stuff they're celebrating right now, whatnot. You know, I mean, we all tend to live in our own little shell and we see the world how we see it, and you know, we're always right. If we didn't think we were right, we wouldn't think that, you know. But when you set yourself up to be with a group of people who's talking, I mean, I'll just take the financial group for instance. I mean, finances are huge. I mean, they, in a lot of ways, right or wrong, they control our lives. I mean, we all go to work every day, or we go to college every day, so that one day we can go to work every day so we can make money. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, you know? But, I mean, in a lot of ways, money is the center of our lives. And right or wrong, you know, I'm not going there right now. But when you go to, say, our Total Money Makeover group, getting to hear people talk about their financial struggles or what's going good with them financially, or you know, like, man, I really want to buy this. Why should I not buy this? I've got the money for it. Can I buy it? These sorts of things. Like, and this is a, you know, a specific example for money, but back to patience, it helps me be patient with people, because I realize that there's these realities that exist outside of my head and that they're very real for everyone else. And when I realize that, and I realize they're being very genuine in that, because I tend to, this is awful, but it's just true. Like, I tend to get angry at people a lot. Like, not violently angry, but in my head, I'm just like, I just get aggravated. I'm like, why are you doing that? That's dumb. You got to see that that's dumb. But we don't always see that it's dumb. People probably see stuff that I do and be like, dude, what are you doing? That's stupid, you know? And hopefully, and I mean, often they are patient with me, but getting to see people, you know, just actually be open about stuff they're struggling with gives me hope for humanity, you know? Like, okay, I can bear with these people. I can be patient. Because they're just like me. They got their struggles, and It's good to see that. It's good to people. It's just good to hear people admit that there's stuff going on, because it's so, you know how it is. You act like everything's all good, and you kind of have to. I mean, you're not going to meet somebody and tell them all that's going bad in your life, but that's kind of the place for a small group and a family so that you can kind of open up a little bit.
I think it just makes us feel more human, you know, because we know what we've done. We know our struggles and our issues. And so when we have conversations with other people and they're actually honest and they're like, yeah, man, I'm struggling with this or that. Like, I think it even helps us to be more patient with ourselves, which is huge.
Yeah. And I think just kind of going to exactly with that, just like because social media, which we did that series before, you know, everybody looks awesome on Facebook and on Instagram. It's like, let me post my best. And
by the way, you post the best food pictures.
Thank you.
BT Dub.
I appreciate that. None of you know whether the food is good, though. See, that's where it's tricky. It's like, it's a good pick, but is it good food? I don't know. So anyway, so that's the point, though. It's like you post these your awesome lives, but then it's like when you get in contact and in right face-to-face with people, it's like then you can just be vulnerable and be like, man, I'm going through crap. Like, I have this horrible relationship, or I have this ex that I'm just, you know, and you can, like, be, you know, yourself and kind of divulge that information and kind of be open and honest. And so I think that's very true, is kind of getting other perspectives of what's going on in other people's lives. Because then, first of all, it gets you out of your world. It's like you think you have these big issues going on, and then you hear about somebody going through this death in the family. It's really wrecked them and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, what am I? You know, like, so it just kind of gives perspective, which I think is good. And that's bearing with one another. So
I nailed it.
Crushed it. That's good. All right, so that's one of them. What about maybe praying for each other? That's, you know, another huge aspect of community and relationships and this whole one another thing. So being in small groups, how does being in small groups help us to pray for one another?
One, it just gives you the opportunity right then and there to do it. Kind of exactly what Shelley said last week. If you see someone, don't just say, oh, I'll pray for you later. And then most people, like, never pray for them. It just gives you the opportunity right then, hey, every week or every other week when we have small group, we're going to pray with each other. And it's so important, because it's not good to hide things that you're going through, whether it's bad, it doesn't matter. It's good to talk about it and have someone else praying with you and encouraging you through it. So small groups are perfect for the praying for one another, because you just do it. Every time you're at small group, you pray with each other, and it really will help you throughout the week and know, man, I'm struggling, but someone's praying for me.
And just one more thing with that, too, because, like, we're, obviously we haven't had the small groups yet, but we'll be kind of splitting up into groups and small groups, and so it won't be like you're, like, praying in this big group with all these people. It'll be like, you know, a group of three or four girls and a group of three or four boys that are just boys, guys, that are praying together.
Men.
Kind of, yes, men, sorry, mighty men, that are praying together, just so y'all kind of understand the context of that. And then also, just to plug the prayer group, every Sunday, while there's a Bible study group too, there's going to be a prayer group. And so we're going to be kind of learning about prayer and what that means and kind of like how to pray and things like that. So that was my plug.
There you go.
Shameless plug. It was a good one, though. He's good. All right. So one of the things, we talk about this one all of the time, the whole encouraging one another. And I think we've kind of already alluded to it, but are there any thoughts that you have on just, you know, small groups, encouraging one another?
All right, I had this thought with prayer, and I didn't say it out of fear of looking like a terrible Christian, but I'm going to say it because it applies to that. Often when a friend of mine comes to me and is, you know, telling me something that I guess, you know, you'd typically want prayer for or whatnot, the thought of praying for them never crosses my mind. Okay, I just said it. For me, anyway, just get over it if I'm wrong. You can talk to me later, but... I don't mean that mean. Okay, y'all didn't laugh. Scared me. I didn't mean that mean. I find it more beneficial often for me if someone will just hear me out. If you want to pray for me, great, do it. But I just want someone to listen to me, that sort of thing. And I've often listened to people when they're praying. It seems to me that often when we pray, even if it's just me and somebody else, when we're praying, all we're doing is really we're kind of praying this little pep talk in a certain sense. Like, We kind of go on and we repeat things and we give all these ways that it could be fixed and like, God, if you do it like this or whatnot, and that's all fine. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but often we're simply saying what I feel like we should be saying to this person anyway. And the prayer is pretty short and simple, I'd think. You know, like, God, you've heard what we talked about. You know, I don't know what else to say about it. We've talked about it. I'm scared of it. I'm sad about it. I'm happy about it. Whatever. but you're God and we're not. And we sat here and talked about it and tried to figure it out, and it's not fixed. So here we are, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't know. I mean, I get that there's prayer and that's good. And maybe, you know, obviously it's just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I think the encouragement goes a long way. That's what you asked about, right? Was encouragement. I think, and I feel like this is biblical, and that's kind of scary to say, but I think you could argue that encouraging each other is just as important as praying for each other. There's no verse that says that, but just in an idea, kind of in principle. I mean, the Bible talks about prayer, and the Bible talks about encouragement, and the Bible talks about confession and all these sorts of things in community. So I'm of the opinion, and you could argue it, but I'm of the opinion that encouragement is often just as good as prayer, because God knows what we need anyway. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. That's a huge theological debate, but I think they're equal in benefit.
Well, I mean, they are. Every time you see them, they're kind of lumped together. It's like pray for one another and then encourage one another. I mean, they usually are together, and it's, I guess, maybe a co-equal existence. Is that good? All right. So I've got one more, I guess, question, kind of maybe it's along the lines of encouragement. It says in the Old Testament that wisdom is in the multitude of counsel. We've talked about accountability. So how does being in a small group, or, you know, kind of the small group setting, how does it make you make or help you make better decisions for your life?
Well, I've heard this like my whole life, and who you hang out with is who you're going to become like. And so if you're trying to like really do life right and make good decisions, why not join like a group of 10 or so people who are trying to do the same thing? And I forgot the question.
just how does being in small groups help you make the right decisions and accountability?
Yeah, you're surrounding yourself by people who are trying to make positive choices, and that will help you do it. Because if you're not doing that, you're going to become like another crowd of people. And you, like we keep saying, you cannot know someone's situation by coming to church for an hour every Sunday. And the purpose of small groups is to get smaller, to get deeper relationships. And that's what happens at small groups. And you can't really encourage someone if you don't really know what's going on. And so small groups is a great time to get to know people. Hey, how's it going? What's been going on, good or bad? And just to celebrate the good and encourage in the bad. And you can't do that here on Sunday that well. So that's why we're really saying join a small group and get a closer group of friends where you can go deeper with them.
Yeah, and I think, too, it requires, like, you know, I mean, this is kind of a given, but, like, small groups are, like, a safe place. You know, like, it's not like, oh, let me hear what's going on so I can go, like, gossip to everybody else. No, it's, like, it's going to be a safe place where it's, like, okay, these are my friends. And because it takes vulnerability to encourage someone, even though it seems like, hey, you're doing a good job, it takes, like, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about, like, those are kind of hard things to say sometimes. I mean, I feel silly sometimes telling my own husband encouraging things sometimes, and it's like, why do I feel silly about that? Because it's vulnerable, and it's like, and so there's going to be, like, an element of vulnerability that, you know, just comes in general with being human, and with being human, having life on life with each other, you know, to say, like, hey, I've been thinking about you, I've been praying about you, or, I mean, I'm going through this or going through that. So, and kind of what Kristen said, like, yeah, you become who you surround yourself with, and that is so true. So if you're hanging out with trash, man, you're going to start stinking. And if you, so, I mean, it's true, and I see it all the time, and I'll see people hanging out with people or checking in on Facebook with all these people, and I'm like, oh, don't do that. Like, that's going the wrong way. Anyway, so just, you know, kind of be aware of that.
It's the show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Yeah. Or show me your people, and I will predict your predicament. That's on the fly. That's on the fly. Tweet that. That's good. Hashtag ballin'. Anyway, so I'll give Daniel some props here, because this is really cool. Daniel's a very intelligent guy, as you guys probably have picked up on. He is an engineer, and he's so humble. Man, probably the most humble person I've ever met. But Daniel's very bright. But he called me a few months back, and he had a question. He was like, he knew what he wanted to do, but he just called and he was like, hey, man, I want to hear you out on this. Tell me what you think about a decision that we're about to make. And so this isn't something that we just talk about in theory. Like, this is something that we do in practice. And I think that's just huge, because even though he knows the decision that he wants to make, I think, you know, just listening to somebody else, getting an outside perspective, and we can do that. There's so many ways that we can do that. If you're, you know, considering a relationship, what are your friends, the friends that really love you? What do they think about it? If you're considering, you know, a job change or a career, or, I mean, anything, Like, get, you know, insight. The wisdom is in the multitude of counsel. Find out what other people think about that decision. Yeah. You think so?
Agreed.
Okay, let's talk about the last one, the whole let's love one another. I feel like we could kumbaya right now. That would just be a great way to finish this thing up. Everybody's in? All right. So just give me maybe just your recap or kind of the big crescendo of loving one another and small groups being kind of the part of that.
And that's a big question. Okay, recap. I'm going to go for the loners out there. I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to tell you what I got from it and go from there. Because I think there's more of us than we know. I already said that, but I'm sold on that. If you happen to be a loner, for whatever reason, embrace that to an extent. You're a loner for a reason. We need extroverts. We need introverts. All of that. Extroverts should find some alone time. Introverts should find some people time, that sort of thing. But focusing on the people time, you know, just the whole one another idea. I mean, yeah, dog, sorry. I'm just thinking. It drives Kristen nuts. Like, I've got these, I know what I want to say. Like, we'll talk and I'll kind of pause and she'll jump in. I'm like, hey, you just interrupted. She's like, you haven't said anything for like 30 seconds. But when you're on stage, you can't do that. So it's rushing me. It's making me nervous. Yeah. No, he didn't. I guess, I mean, it's something I've already said. I was trying to think of something I didn't already say, but in an answer to a previous question. One, there's just something innate about it. If you haven't done it, try it. If you have done it, you know what I'm talking about. I can't explain it, but you know that there's benefit in finding that. I think the verse you just said, that there's wisdom in multitude, or in the multitude of counsel, right? It never qualifies the counsel there, and I think that's interesting. Counsel is just left as counsel. And I think that's important. I mean, you're going to go to a small group with a bunch of peers. I mean, there's not going to be like a group counselor there, you know, who's trained in all this. The counsel is going to come from the group of people that you're with, and the wisdom is going to come from your experience with them. And the cool thing is that there's a ton of wisdom to gain from that. And even if you don't feel like getting out of the house and you just rather sit there alone, you still need to do that at least once a week, right? On that side note, often counselors, I think, get a bad rap. I'm like, you don't need a counselor. I love counselors. I think counselors are friggin' awesome, professional counselors. I think they should be utilized more often than not. Hey, oh, cool, thanks. Oh, yeah, he's one. That's why I started it. Yeah. But I do mean that. I think often, like, oh, my problem's not that big. It's not that you have to have this huge problem to go to a counselor. You're essentially going to somebody who's a professional helper. Like, why not, you know? Like, they're professional at helping people get through stuff. I mean, I think they're awesome. So I'm not at all saying don't go to counselors. I think they're great and underutilized, especially in the church for some reason. They've just got a bad rap. Like, almost the whole pray about it, like, well, dude, God's on your side. You don't need counselors. Well, I don't think God sees it that way. I mean, I think he set us up opposite of that. I'm not saying don't go to a counselor, but I am saying counsel can often come from those that you're around, even if they're your peers, and sometimes more often not if they're your peers. So that's my two cents on that.
Okay. I don't think we're ever meant to go through life alone. And so I just feel like Bianca was saying, like, small groups is a safe place. And as far as, like, loving one another and being in small groups, you're not going through anything alone, good or bad. You're at a very safe place where you can tell your friend or leader or peer whatever you want to tell them, good or bad. And I just feel like that's when you can really be loved in your situation. Like Shelly was saying, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or who you are today. Like, small groups is a place to, like, be loved for who you are right now. And I just feel like that's what small groups is. And it's a very safe place. We're not meant to do it alone. And you'll just be loved while you're at a small group.
I doubt it. Mine are up here. So. Anyway, we've been talking a lot about, like, the vulnerability and stuff that's going to happen at small groups. We're talking about, like, these big ideas, Don't let that scare you, because if I was new to a church or whatever, and they're talking about these big ideas of what's going on in a small group, like, that can sound somewhat exaggerated. More often than not, you're going to show up and you're going to hang out. You're going to talk about the Bible. You're going to talk about who knows what in the marriage class. Co-eds are going to hang out and play games and goof off and do whatever. And I mean, I don't know what's going on, but correct me if I'm wrong, you know. We're going to talk about, I mean, in the money group, we've got a book we're going through. Like, it's not just like, all right, we're here. Tell me what's going on, you know, open up. Like, that's not how it is. But the idea is that, you know, you can open up a little bit, and hopefully you can find somebody you can open up if you need to. We're not expecting that all of we're in this room full of people that just have these huge issues and you need to go to a small group. We're all going to open up and cry and laugh, and maybe that happens, you know. That's good here and there, but we're talking about big ideas here, and more often than not, it's going to be less grand than what we're saying, but the idea still holds true, you know what I mean? It's good to have.
So we don't need to bring our black leather couches to small group?
Please don't.
Get psychoanalyzed.
So with loving one another, and with patience and with bearing with one another and encouragement and forgiveness and all these things, that love one another. These guys are, you know, they're my best friends. We've been friends for a long time. Sometimes they make me really angry. Like, not gonna lie, they make me really angry. And I'm like, oh, I'm so mad at Kristen. Like, so with coming with love one another means that people are still human.
Yeah.
Okay, so this, like, people are gonna stab you in the back. People in your small group are probably gonna talk. I mean, that you're human. Everybody's human. I'm not saying Kristen's ever talked behind my back, by the way. She's a good friend. But anyways, the point is that people are human, and so loving one another means loving people right where they're at. Like, loving them in there, they may not have it all together, they just need to be loved right where they're at. And hopefully, being around community, it'll help them be all that God's called them to be, but kind of loving somebody where they're at and helping them to become all what God's created them to be is kind of the point. So, and I've, you know, I'm sure she hates me too sometimes, but well, anyways, the point is that loving one another means kind of loving people right where they're at and helping them to become all God's created them to be. So that was my...
That's good. I think just, this is kind of my recap. I think one of the best ways that we can love people is to love people with our experiences. And like, you know, I think about married groups, for example. Shelly and I have been married for, where's Shelly? Shelly's been married to me, poor thing, for 13 years. And so, you know, we've learned a lot of things. Like, we've figured out how to resolve conflict. It was funny. We went through this thing called VOW, and it was a little workshop, and they kind of tell you what your strong points are and what your weak points are. And like, the only thing that we really had to deal with is like the way we resolve conflict. I don't want to talk about it. She wants to talk about it too much. And so we have to find balance. And that's absolutely the truth. And so, you know, we've learned a lot of things about marriage. And so we love going out with young married couples and talking to young married couples about things that, and just sharing the things that we've learned is a great expression of love. And so that's just one of the, and that's an easy example. And anything that you've done in life that you've gone through and you've learned, sharing it with other people is just an expression of the love that you have for them. Because you could be selfish and not share what you've learned because you want to be the best married couple in the world and you want everybody else's marriages to suck. Like, that would be dumb, right? So I think that's just a great way to show your love. So what we're going to do now, we just want to kind of recap and show everybody the small groups. Daniel and Kristen, like I said, are going to be leading the Total Money Makeover group. Do you want to give us some details on that? Just dates and times. I don't have the dates and times in front of me here, so.
Tuesdays at 6:30, yes. Tuesdays at 6:30. I'm terrible with dates here at the church. Not in this room, but just meet up here, and that's where it'll be. We're going through a workbook. It's there in the back. You can show up without buying the workbook, but it'd be pretty weird. If you can't afford it, just talk to somebody. We can get you a book, but yeah, so we're going to be basing off that book.
Yeah, and we've got calendars that have all of the dates and times, so if you're confused about that. So Tuesday at 6:30 in this, we call it the South Auditorium because it just sounds really cool. So the old auditorium is where the Total Money Makeover group will be, right? Okay, and then, so tell us also why you've got the mic about the Sunday morning Bible study.
Can I say something about Money Group also really
Proceed.
Quick? There's been a misunderstanding that I've heard come up a few times. This is not at all a money-making group. Like, it has nothing...
Well, no, it's kind of funny because the name is Total Money Makeover, and so it's not like you're... Yeah, it could be confusing.
Yeah, I mean, somebody I think even they're like, so what? Tell me about the money-making class, and like... Yeah, it's really not that. hopefully you'll have more money after having gone through the class, but not because you made any more, but just because you spent less. But the idea is just changing our behavior and our attitude about money. The idea is that we've been taught wrong in our society, and there's a better, more correct way, and we talk about that and that sort of thing, kind of in a nutshell.
I was going to come, but if I'm not making any money, I'm not coming.
Well, if you're not making money, that's your own fault. I'm just trying to tell you what you do with your making, you know what I mean? So go make some money and then come. Oh, that's another thing. If you don't even have a job, that's fine, because you're going to have one one day, and you're going to be making money one day, so yeah. Might as well learn beforehand what to do with it. So that's that. The Bible group, I've actually still got, I'm kind of debating on two different ways to go with that, but it's going to be discussion-based. It's not just, I'm going to read the Bible to us and we leave, because I'm pretty dry with that. But, you know, we'll go through a passage. I don't know quite yet if we're just going to, you know, breeze through the Bible, just start at the front, go to the back, or we might just pick some topics, not topics, but just some verses that we hear a lot and just talk about them, you know, these sorts of things. So we might do a little bit of both, but, you know, we're going to read a section or a passage or a verse, and we're going to talk about it, that sort of stuff, just as a group, you know, and I'll be kind of leading that, but that's kind of how that's going to go. And again, if you want to hear the conversation, but you're not necessarily one that's going to volunteer a lot of your thoughts, that's fine also, exactly what we've been talking about. Show up and listen. I mean, you can always learn. It's just a way we can all go through the Bible. I mean, I'm by no means some spectacular Bible scholar or something. I think it'd be good to do, so I'm teaching it, right? I mean, and when I say teaching, I'm more leading it. It's just going to be us talking about, you know, what this may or may not mean. So,
very cool. All right, so the Mary group is Johnny and Bianca.
That's my boo thing right there.
Yeah.
He's coming up here.
Hey! So, come on up, Johnny. Here, you can steal my chair.
No, he's bringing up. You can sit next to me. That's a boo thing, yeah. So we're going to be leading the married small group, and it's going to be on Mondays, so like tomorrow at 6. Thank you. Thanks for reading that off. I'm like, what time is it? It's from 6 o'clock. And if you come every other week, yeah, theirs is every week, but ours is every other week. So every other Monday, we're going to be getting together and having fun. And pretty much the kind of the layout or whatever is we're just going to be hanging out, and then we're going to be kind of go through a few questions of just kind of open discussion. If you want to comment, cool. If you don't, cool. And then we're just going to be hanging out. So and kind of just having fun, getting to know each other, building that community. So.
We'll be happy to have you.
And then also we're going to be having a prayer group on Sunday mornings that I'm leading to. And so and pretty much that is just going to be kind of talking about prayer and what it means and what does that look like today, you know, in our lives, crazy busy lives. And then we're just going to kind of be going through this book called The Circle Maker and going through kind of different prayer techniques, how to pray, just general, like just kind of prayer. And then we'll also have a time of just kind of just prayer, personal prayer. You can just kind of pray and just kind of learning how to pray and things like that. I think I said pray like 15 times. What time are the Sunday morning classes is the question. They're at 10 a.m. I know, I didn't know. They're about 10 a.m. So his class and my class are at 10 a.m. And then if you want to just come to hang out, we'll have, you know, hang out outside. So, and that's starting next Sunday. So, yeah.
I think that prayer group is huge because, I mean, we talk about, not that the Bible study is not, but, you know, prayer is something you talk about in Christianity all the time, yeah. But a lot of people they've never known how to pray. It's just usually prayer happens when crap happens. They're like, oh, God, like, what do I do? And that's prayer, but prayer is so much more than that. So I think that's really good. All right, the last group, last but certainly
Woo!
Not least.
The co-eds, what?
This is the party group. If you're single, this is where the guys go to look for girls.
Yeah. Let me just clarify, this is not a singles group. I'm not going to try to hook y'all up. So married people and single people alike are welcome. If you want to meet your boyfriend or girlfriend there, that's cool too. I'm just saying, this ain't a singles group, not match.com, none of that stuff. Because some people will be like, that's weird, I don't want a boyfriend or anything. Okay, so it's going to be every other Thursday at 6:30, and we're going to like hang out and do cool stuff and then awkwardly separate boys and girls and just kind of pray for each other. Not that it's awkward, but you know, the transition is always kind of funny, right? Like, okay guys, let's pray after we just played beanbag toss or whatever. I'm not really selling this very well.
No, you're doing good. Hey, this is The funny thing is we've considered, Keelan does a little bit of web design, so we've been talking about motionmingle.com. And it would just be a web.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Listen, get that out of your head. This isn't a singles group. We're just co-ed.
It's
okay?
Really, this is, the co-ed group is really for anybody. If you're single, dating, engaged, married.
We are not dating.
Yeah.
We're just best friends.
Right. So anyway, it's just a great time to get to know people, to hang out with people, to build relationships with people. And then, you know, if that whole, if Shelly were leading it, it would be match.com. But she's not. And so everybody's safe. But it's just, it really is just a great way to get to know people and build relationships. It's an incredible small group. Keelan, say something.
It starts next Thursday. No, this Thursday at 6:30 at Taylor's crib. And yeah.
And a swimming pool.
It's got a pool.
Boom.
I live with my brothers, so it's a bachelor pad. I'm just warning you.
Awesome. So these are the small groups that we have for now. We're going to do this for the fall, and if need be, we'll make some changes in the spring. But this is kind of our lineup for the fall. So what we want you guys to do, the table's at the back. If you haven't signed up for a small group, shame on you, right? Just sign up for a small group. If nothing else, check it out. Look, I know we're all busy, but we should never be too busy to make time for relationships because we talked about how important it is. Let me pray for us, and then we'll bounce. Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for all that you do. God, we thank you for your love for us. God, thank you for this community, this group of people that you've given to us to do life with. God, I pray that we just get the importance of it, God, that we don't pass this off as just another one of those things, God, that they talk about at church, God, but we integrate it into our lives, God, that we understand how important it is for us personally, God, and that we do something about it. God, help us to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. God, we love you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.